From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. The state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, the top three corn-producing states in the nation, will tell us about crop progress and conditions in their regions. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way today, we'll hear how the GAO sees crop insurance and the money savings that could be garnered by capping payments, in this case, the premium subsidy. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat finished at $6.09, up 2 3/4. That's the May. July at 6:15, up 3. The hard red Kansas City at 6:36, up 4 3/4. May corn futures in Chicago at $6.66 a bushel, up a penny. July at 6:23, 3 cents higher. September at $5.38, up 4 3/4. And December futures, $5.28 a bushel, up 3 1/4 cents. March corn at $5.39 1/2, up 2 3/4. May up a penny at $5.48 1/4. And the July futures, $5.56 1/4, up 3 1/4. December of 2013 at $5.37 3/4, up 4 1/2 cents. The May soybean futures in Chicago at $14.37 3/4, down 25 3/4 cents. July futures, $14.38 1/4, down 27 1/2. And August contract, $14.25 1/4, down 23 1/2. November beans, $13.40 1/2 cents, down 13 cents. January futures, 11 1/4, lower at $13.39 1/2 cents. For the afternoon, bean meal at $4.16.60, down $8.60. Bean oil at $52.90, down 31 cents. Live cattle futures finished the August at $118.45, 35 cents lower. August feeders at $158.77 1/2, down 67 1/2 cents. The September futures there at $159.77 1/2, were down 77 1/2 cents. And June lean hogs, 400 pounds, a dime lower today, $84.30, the final trade. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $97.29 a barrel, down 65 cents. Ethanol at $2.20 6/10 cents. That's 5/10 cents or 0.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Natural gas at $2.44 7/10, 11 2/10 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 1 1/10 cents higher at $2.99 3/10. And gold futures on the afternoon finished $34.60 lower at $1,604 a troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 79.72, up 0.12, and the CRB index at 295.13. That's down 2.33 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service in Urbana-Champaign this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies. A high of 74 degrees with a west-northwest wind at 14 miles an hour. It'll gust all the way to 20. And then this evening, partly cloudy skies, a low of 49. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 67. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear, a low of 42 degrees with a north wind at 8 to 11. And winds could gust as high as 15 miles an hour tomorrow evening. Thursday, sunny skies and 70. Calm winds. Thursday night, mostly clear and 48. Friday, sunny and 73. Friday night, mostly clear and 53. Saturday, sunny and 74. And Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 52 degrees. On Sunday, partly sunny skies, a high of 70. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 53 degrees. And on Monday, to start the work week, mostly sunny and a high of 72. We'll talk about the weather forecast as it pertains to agriculture in the Midwest and the globe a bit later in the program. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural futures markets with us. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in the bean pit today?
What happened in the bean pit? A lot of unhappiness. We're struggling a little bit to find what the real cause was. We know that we broke through moving averages. We know we hit sell stops. We know that the planting progress is moving right along. Some of the guys are back in the field, and depending on picking areas over in our area this afternoon after some light rains in some of our areas, and some of them are still waiting for the a little bit to dry up because of the extra moisture. We know there was supposedly unwinding of long bean, short corn spreads along the way, but we're not really sure because it's been 8 days in a row that the USDA has announced more soy sales to China, and we didn't look for a sell-off like this in old crop beans.
And might it be due to what's been happening in Europe and the possibility that the Greek financial crisis could continue to wind down, meaning get worse rather than better?
Yeah, London was off on holiday yesterday, and they come back in today. And there was supposedly announced or rumored that they were the ones sort of a risk-off day, as they say it. The crude oil was down over $2 at one time early this morning. We look over at the bean oil and the bean meal, and it was down sharply today also. So it does. There could have been some liquidation here ahead of the report by some of our foreign traders and nervousness about the euro-dollar and the dollar. You know, that a lot of the things that were heavily down on the outside markets have tempered themselves here later in the day.
What are your expectations for the world agricultural supply and demand estimates throughout Thursday?
You know, we have to think that the with the all the sales we've been seeing, that they should up the exports a little bit here for the old crop corn and beans both. And we're going to have a very tight carry out for the following year. We know that old crop corn isn't moving at, the basis levels we've seen, 50 to 60 over. So we know we should have a very tight carry out this year. Dave asked me this morning, do we think it'll still be 801, and will we believe it if it is? And I answered emphatically, well, of course we won't, but that's what we have to trade if that's what baseline is. But, that's not going to be an acceptable number to most traders. So, like I say, there's the preconceived ideas. Everybody wants to be bullish new crop beans. Everybody wants to be bullish old crop corn and somewhat neutral wheat.
Yeah, well, it would be easy to be bullish old crop corn given the basis levels. They are skyrocketing all across the central corn belt.
Yeah, now we did see something very unusual for the last few days here today. We did see the May only close up one while the July was up three because that spread has widened every day for I don't know how long. And one maybe telltale sign is we closed at 666 on the May corn today. Maybe the May corn rally's over.
Well, we shall see, won't we?
I'm doubting it is, but, like I say, that's one of those numbers we like to avoid.
All right. And then when you look at old crop corn and you talk to producers, are they truly out of corn or are they still just tight holders?
A little bit of both. There's a number of farmers that are out. There's a number of farmers that have a lot of on-farm storage that have contracts to fill and haul in over the May, June, July time frame to some of the local ethanol plants around here. And there's some out there that are just sitting on 5, 10, 15,000 bushels of corn and just very stubborn holders because they have had a very good year. The one thing that we do find very often or most often is that nobody has sold what they would have liked to as far as new crop corn, especially over the $6 mark.
Any other things to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about it today, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers.
on the web at myrmconline.com.
One other place you ought to go online is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you hit the USDA tab about halfway down the page there, you'll find the predicted numbers for the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. And on Thursday morning at 7:30, Dave Dickey will be in bright and early to fill those numbers in, and you can come back and find out what USDA had to say. Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service released the latest crop progress and condition report. It showed that as of Sunday, 71% of the corn around the nation had been planted. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 47% and just 32% in the ground at the same time last year. The emerged state of corn now stands at 32% compared to 13% on the rolling five-year average. 24% of the nation's soybean crop has been planted. The rolling five-year average is 11%. At this time last year, just 6% of the crop had been put into the ground. 7% of the soybean crop has emerged, compared with 3% on the rolling five-year average. 63% of the winter wheat crop has now headed. That compares with 39% at the same time last year and 34% on the rolling five-year average. 48% of that crop is said to be in good condition, 15% in excellent. That compares with 50% in good last week and just 14% in the excellent category. Last year, those numbers were 27 and 6% respectively. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 6, 2012. Iowa's planting progress was slowed by persistent rain and thunderstorms that swept through the state during the week. With few locations managing more than two consecutive dry days, farmers are looking forward to a stretch of clear weather to help dry fields so planting activities can resume. The statewide average precipitation was 1.51 inches compared with the normal of 0.98 inches, and the average temperature for the week was 10.3 degrees above normal. Statewide, there was only 1.5 days suitable for fieldwork during the week, with the days suitable ranging from a low of less than 1 day in south central and southeast Iowa to a high of only 2.3 days in northwest Iowa. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels improved to 97 and 81% adequate to surplus respectively, with the additional rainfall during the week pushing subsoil moisture above the 80% adequate to surplus mark for the first time since the week ending July 24, 2011. Even with limited opportunities, farmers managed to advance corn planting 14 percentage points during the week, with progress now at 64% complete, 12 points ahead of last year and 6 points ahead of the five-year average. Farmers in northwest and west central Iowa have about three-quarters of their corn crop in the ground and are ahead of all other districts. Statewide, 23% of the corn crop has emerged, 4 days ahead of normal, while soybean planting at 7% complete was equal to last year but slightly behind the five-year average of 11%. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa field office.
This is Brad Schwab, chief crop statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois field office. Statewide, temperatures were reported 10.9 degrees above normal, averaging 68.5 degrees. And rainfall accumulations came in at 1.82 inches, which was also 91 one-hundredths above normal for the 7-day period ending May 6th. And with all this rainfall, it should be no surprise there were only 1.5 days suitable for field work. And topsoil moisture supplies increased to 6% short, 68% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 86% adequate or surplus, up 17 percentage points from last week. Corn planting advanced by 10 more percentage points to 89% complete. This compares to 27% planted last year and 47% for the 5-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 64%, and this compares to only 5% last year and 18% for the 5-year average. The average height of all corn now stands at 3 inches. Soybean planting advanced to 21% complete, compared to 1% a year ago and 7% for the 5-year average. 7% was reported emerged, compared to 1% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean progress was the southeastern district, where 20% had been reported emerged by week's end. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 87%, well ahead of the 21% reported a year ago and 23% five-year average. 33% of wheat heads were reported filled, which is considered well advanced for this date. The winter wheat crop was rated as mostly good to excellent condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office. Producers made significant planting progress with favorable conditions. Above normal temperatures and limited precipitation allowed active field work and aided crop development. Corn planted jumped to near three-fourths complete, 1 week ahead of average, with 25% of the crop emerged. Soybean planting was 29% complete, and sorghum planted stood at 7%. Wheat jointed was 87%, with one-quarter of the crop headed out, which is 19 days ahead of average. Wheat conditions rated 1% very poor, 5 poor, 28 fair, 55 good, and 11 excellent, above last year's 46% good to excellent, and 63 average. The first cutting of alfalfa continued 3 weeks ahead of average. Cattle have been moved to summer pastures. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for those weekly updates of crop progress and condition. Up next, one of the lines of discussion surrounding the new farm bill is focused on limiting crop insurance payments. I'll have more on what effect a limit might have on a grain farm. The United States Government Accountability Office, otherwise known as the GAO, released a report on crop insurance earlier this year. It suggested two ways to save money on the federally subsidized crop insurance program. Congress reported the GAO could consider limiting the subsidy for premiums that an individual farmer receives each year, or reducing the subsidy for all farmers participating in the program. Of course, it could do both. With the farm bill debate raging in Congress, the ag economist at Illinois wondered what would happen if the GAO's recommendations were made law and the limit was set at $40,000. Gary Schnicke did those numbers.
But the farm sizes that hit that limit were 1,600 acres in 2011 up to 2,700 acres in 2010. So something in the 1,600 to 2,700 acre farm size, grain farm size, would begin hitting those limits. Varied by year because projected prices varied by year, and that influences premiums.
Those farm sizes are bigger than the average in the state of Illinois, but not by much. The average grain farm is about 1,200 acres. Limiting the insurance premium would mean the farmer would bear the entire cost of the premium for acres insured over the subsidy limit, in this case $40,000. Such a limit would change the influence of crop insurance.
There's a couple things about that. So far, the risk management agency has been pretty size neutral in its programs. This would not be. It would limit the risk program to larger farms, and you know there are differential impacts of that $40,000 limit. Areas that have more risk would have lower acreage limits because their premiums are higher, and they would face that limit quicker because their premiums are higher.
That's not just in Illinois. The change, if considered and enacted by Congress, would make it much more difficult and costly to insure marginal farmland. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. Time now on a Tuesday afternoon to check the agricultural energy markets on the phone line. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago. It's, of course, an affiliate of ADM. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, as we look at the marketplace for energies, it seems to me crude has been fairly volatile, but you look out and the numbers that our analysts are talking about seem to be lower rather than higher. Can you give me some insight, please?
Well, we've seen finally a break in these markets. We've been pretty skeptical of some of the upside potential here from toward that 105 area in crude, and have subsequently saw some weakness come through. And we based the belief that we could see lower values on the economic prospects pointing down, which I think is starting to undercut the market, along with some of the high prices forcing adjustments on the consumer side.
Adjustments on the consumer side, meaning in recent months we've had to cut back on usage?
Rationing, yeah, demand. Certainly there's been the high prices, certainly in Illinois, even for gasoline, has cut back on demand on the order of 4 to 6%.
And when you look out into the summer months, do the driving months bring back that demand or
no,
not?
No, I think we've seen the highs in gasoline, that the potential is there for another 20 cents possibly on the downside in terms of easing off in terms of retail prices. And as we start moving into the fall months and shift over to the cheaper blends, that will also ease off in terms of prices as well. So that might give a little bit of a bump to the economy overall.
Right. So is that a lack of demand over the summer months on the domestic, on the global marketplace, or increased supply coming out of the Middle
East? I think it's an increase in supply. We had some rather large cracks in terms of margins that have brought back and this basically some refining capacity, and that has helped improve supply availability. Overall, crude supplies have jumped up on a world global basis, as we've talked about. Certainly Libya and Saudi Arabia have all provided the impetus for some higher supplies, along with the U.S., where we've seen some pretty active drilling lead to some increases in supplies as well.
As we made our way through the first quarter of the calendar year, ethanol plants seem to be focusing into the second and third quarters, thinking, I don't know whether the margins are going to be good enough to run or not. Has that changed recently?
It hasn't changed much. We're pretty much at a break even for many plants, and I think there is certainly some impetus to maintain production here, particularly with the forward contracts for corn moving a lot lower and surplus situation in store for the 2012.
How do you view the May, June, July time frame for ethanol plants?
I would think it will be a little bit tough given the tightness in supplies for old crop. But as I said, new crop is going to provide some opportunities, I think, for the plants as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's located in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Remember, you can hear anything that you hear on this program on our website at willag.org. Just scroll down and look for the Closing Market Report. You can listen to pieces of the program or the entire program at willag.org. It's a Tuesday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report.
It's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day. The first sheep were brought to North America by Spanish soldiers under the command of Cortes in 1519. The introduction of sheep into commercial cattle herds of the Western territories were not well received, causing bloodshed and social division. It's also National Home Brewers Day. Due to a clerical error when Prohibition was repealed with the 21st Amendment, home brewing of beer remained illegal. It was not until February of 1979 when President Jimmy Carter signed a bill repealing federal restrictions on the home brewing of small amounts of beer. On this day in agricultural history in 1660, Isaac B. Furbein of The Hague reportedly received a patent for macaroni. In 1847, delegates to a national medical convention in Philadelphia approved a resolution that established the American Medical Association. Early goals include launching programs on medical ethics as well as improved public health. And in 1925, William Lever died. In 1886, William and his brother James formed the Lever Brothers Soap Manufacturing Company. It was one of the first companies to manufacture soap from vegetable oils instead of tallow. By 1900, the factory was producing a number of well-recognized brands, including Lifebuoy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming on the phone line with us. Don, can you take us through the weather forecast for our part of the world over the next week, please?
Well, it looks like pretty much as it should in the month of May. When we look at the chances for precipitation, when we look at temperature conditions, the only thing we could say is that we're still going to be a little cool. A little cooler than normal in the Midwest and the Corn Belt as we work our way through the next week to 10 days. And when it comes to precipitation, we maybe don't see as much precipitation in terms of amounts, especially here in the short term. We're going to get into better chances for shower and thunderstorm activity as we get into next week. But as we go through Mother's Day weekend, temperatures a little below normal, but only spotty precipitation. Those better precipitation chances coming a little bit later.
Is there a larger system somewhere that's having an impact on what we're seeing here? Sometimes that happens.
Well, what we're seeing is a jet stream that is a little bit further south than normal for this time of year and moving along a little quicker than normal. And what this is doing is keeping some of that cooler air from the northern latitudes across the lower 48 states a little bit deeper than normal. That's going to give us our coolness. But at the same time, it's keeping systems moving quickly. So you don't have those big wind-up storms that lumber across the U.S. that sometimes you see in the spring season.
Are there places that are getting rainfall where the cold and the hotter weather are clashing in the United States then?
Well, right now, no. That's one reason why we haven't really had a lot of reports recently of a lot of severe weather. We haven't had those collisions, and we can thank the suppressed jet stream a little bit for that and the quick-moving nature of these systems. So the big contrast between air masses, we expect to pick up, especially middle to late week, but we just haven't seen that here lately.
Now, you suggested that we would get more rainfall a bit further out. How much further out are you looking then?
It is certainly looking like the early to middle portions of next week. We're going to see one system come out of the Rockies this weekend that will be a cold front. I think the northern and western Corn Belt areas will see the impacts of this system with some shower and thunderstorm activity maybe this weekend, but it won't be widespread. The widespread shower and thunderstorm chances get a lot better towards that Wednesday, Thursday time frame of next week.
Take me through the growing regions of the northern hemisphere, especially in Eurasia or Europe and Asia. Talk about wheat and then in China too.
Okay, well, let's first off, we'll start with China. Right now, the prospects for precipitation over many areas of China look really good. Temperatures there very close to normal, so the outlook for Central, Eastern Asia, China regions, those areas look good. If we were to go over to Europe and look at the conditions, a little bit drier there. No one's excessively dry, but the Ukraine, Western Russia areas, they're going to be looking at the best chances for precipitation, but close to normal amounts. Some areas of Southern Europe and Western Europe, France, Germany, they're going to be trending a little warmer and drier.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Thank you.